Intervju Radija Študent.
Kris Galareta. Pogovarjali smo se s perujskim nojzerjem in zvočnim raziskovalcem, ki je te dni gostoval v Sloveniji ter izvedel nekaj odličnih koncertov v Mariboru, Ljubljani in okolici, ter s pomočjo zavoda Ljudmila izvedel tudi delavnico izdelovanja DIY kontaktnih mikrofonov, elektromagnetnih senzorjev in poslušanja Hyperoido. Kris Galareta je na južnoameriški eksperimentalni glasbeni sceni prisoten od leta 1995. Je ustanovitelj neodvisne glasbene založbe in skupnosti Aluardi ter mnogih glasbenih skupin, med njimi Dios, Meuiolado, Eva Mus, Azukena, Cantrix, Tika, Garapata in Sahra. Področja njegovih interesov so raziskovanje glasbenih dekompozicij, hekanje človeške percepcije v času in prostoru ter socialna samorekognicija. Danes živi med Francijo in Nizozemsko, razvija lastne neodvisne zvočne projekte ter študira na Institute of Sonology of the Royal Conservatory. Sedaj pa poslušamo, kaj nam je v intervjuju povedal Kris sam.
So, Kris, you've been in Slovenia for a few days doing concerts and workshops. What are your current impressions? What are your first impressions of working here?
Of Slovenia?
Yeah, I mean, happening concerts.
It's very green. Okay. The people very warm.
Maybe you played a few concerts and a workshop. How does this connect?
I enjoy a lot the concerts because the sound is very important, also because the relation with the people. There are different groups of people making organizing events here related to experimental practice that involve sound, and like you, like the guys in Maribor,
yeah,
or the people in Ljubljana, and I was really impressive because all the time I was making a lot of activity around until tonight.
Yeah.
I just go 3 hours after and I continue making steps.
Perfect.
I like it.
And you also did some field recordings in the town, Ljubljana, recording with contact mics.
Yeah, I make this kind of recordings to listen the space through the structures that compose these them, as you see in the workshop.
Yeah.
I make some field recordings of normal, let's say conventional field recordings, atmospheric field recordings in just some gypsies playing around or some street musicians, but not really about the city.
Okay.
But in the city I just record some electromagnetic fields and structures.
And on the workshop you were speaking about this concept or your approach called Hyperoido.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really interesting when you were talking about this non-hierarchical way of listening, and expanding the perception, also using different types
transducers,
yeah, to broaden the way of hearing. So how does this connect to your live act when you play solo?
Ah.
Part of the same research? Or?
Yeah, it's a good question because always the life is the first step for me because I feel more in relation with how playing live, playing like musician, you know, not musician in the way to play music, to play concerts and stuff. And for every concert, sometimes I prepare some tools and experiments. But it starts with the pleasure to listen and confront this energy, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes I use different kind of tools. And the way with electromagnetic fields, I start many years ago, maybe 2006 or 5, I don't remember. I was in a workshop of a guy called Dimitri, I don't remember. He's a Greek United States guy. And the guy showed in very short way how works these pickups, but he just used for concert but with effects, no? But when I was testing, I see the possibilities in the rough signal. And also for me was a radical change because I was programming a lot in batches, playing a lot of computer music, pure data, this kind of stuff. In the past I was making bands with guitar and effects, but in a moment I was tired of the computer because I feel like a slave of the computer. Yeah. And also about the algorithms, that is an abstract way to compose or to make an interface to play in live. I was making this stuff. And in one moment I feel like all was really abstract. And I don't feel too much when I play. So I decide to kill the computer and hack also my way of making music. And I just use part of broken computers, let's say trash, like hard disks,
yeah,
electric.
I saw, yeah.
And I just put electricity, and I don't care about the functionality, I just care about the energy. And I put these sensors and I start to play with it. First, I explore it, but it's very, very rough material and very, how I can say, it's very, you don't have a lot of possibilities, but this is a big possibility when you don't have a lot, because you have to know. It made me change my perception of music, because before I was playing, but in the moment that I take this way to play, I was played by the signals, you know?
Okay.
I have to listen the signals and take the way of the signals and try to adapt myself.
Accept the limitation, you know?
Yeah. And my movements also start to be more slow in order to have some subtle changes. So, and I learned something from the broken machines, from the energy of broken machines. And it's very nice because have a relation with the functionality, have a relation with the economy and the politics, no? Because all these technologies developed for business, for efficiency, or this kind of stupid goal in the human, you know? And this kind of use of technology is like I think it's a kind of wild part inside the machines, and it wake up other kind of dreams too.
Yes, maybe this part which is not tied to operativity and functionality, but something like trash. And would you say that this kind of change of perception is connected to your involvement with noise in general, or maybe concretely with this like broken stuff?
It all comes in the way, the relations. When I say you are a big history about now, with the idea of politics, economics, and trash, you know. But I wasn't conscious of it when I was exploring. I just was trying to get sounds and stuff like that. And after, I see a lot of relations. Also, the use of this trash is a recycle. I am recycling the material, no? The concrete trash, but also recycling the signals, because it's pollution of our time. Just to speak about electromagnetic fields, is one of the techniques. No?
Yeah.
That performance specific was called Computer Music is Dead.
Uh-huh.
So I was playing a lot of computer music. It was like a joke to myself.
But it was really very early. I mean, it's in recent years, it's like 2005, 2006, it was not so popular yet, maybe, as it is now.
Yeah,
it's computer noise is now really the main.
I know, but this album, Computer Music is Dead, I started to manage this name in 2008. And I play with this set the last 3 years. Now, what you see in life is not just computer music. That I put a lot of the other technology, but always trash or homemade tools. I think what have a strong relation with my life, because I don't have money to buy a lot of instruments. In the past, was worse. I just buy some for guitars because I like to play guitar and some effects, but in the past I can't buy any effects and stuff, and I start to build by myself or playing with stuff that my friends borrow me. In Peru, the people borrow the same stuff, so effects and stuff, so you can play, and it was like that, and that was the main motivation to maybe to take this way.
Yeah.
In the beginning, maybe I was feeling strange, but now I feel really nice because I see something there that can grow and grow and grow. Mm.
Now that you mentioned also that you play guitar and stuff, maybe could you just tell a little bit about your background? What were your starts in music when you started?
In music, independent, making a band or this kind of stuff, you mean, no? The first band was in the school with some guys that plays like post-punk and stuff like that.
Okay.
But I was listening also a lot of traditional music, and the music was very important in the house also, on the streets always you listening. But band was with the people in school, was called Opium, this band, but we don't record anything. After, always I was in a project with a friend that was Fabian Escalante. We were trying to make something more experimental before 95, I think, and I call this project Dios Me Violado, but until 98 we don't publish anything. We record, we rehearsal. After comes to the band other guys, that one of them is another band famous in Peru, and the other guy is a poet, no? And we was making experimental stuff, but we just published something in 98. That is around the beginning.
When did you start to shift more towards noise, or was it more gradual shifting towards experimental?
Using the motors. The guitar always I play in experimental way. The structures of rock also I use like that. Let's say also that now the machines and the way that I play with electromagnetic fields or with noise, really noise, I mean, or quiet experimental music, I apply in the pop, in the songs that I do. I have a project now that is called Sahara, that is are my songs.
The past I
am singing now, but in the past I was with singers.
Yeah.
In Ninguna Nímpula was with a French singer, and in Peru was with Fabiola Vázquez, with a Peruvian singer, and we record a play a lot with Tika, this band in Peru, a lot in Peru. Well, we was making a lot of stuff. It will be published and released in Mexico soon. But in Ninguna Nímpula we have some stuff recorded. We play more concerts in Mexico and in Paris. But always I have these obsessions with the songs because some are very special, and I have very old ones from 17, I don't know, and I want to make it, you know, because I feel like
you have the need.
But what is nice is that I'm making the way that I can now with all the stuff that I manage. I like it. Mm.
More broad perspective.
I will send to you the links. I think I sent yesterday.
Yeah, I checked out some when there's another female singer.
Yes.
Actually, the guitar you have reminded me a bit of Keiji Kaina.
That is
very reverb.
Apologize. I like Keiji Kaina, but I meet this guy after many years after I start to play guitar in an experimental way. I mean, we was in the same festival playing one time in Mexico. Was amazing, the performance of this guy. I don't know him personally, but I enjoy his music. I have some recordings also. It's Apollo, yes. I like the music of this guy.
Yeah.
It's a kind of ritual way. He listened the sounds more than play. I was more influenced when I start with my Bloody Valentine.
Valentine
meet here. And because they listen. They don't want to make rock, I think. They make to make a change in your perception.
So how's the scene in Peru nowadays?
There's a lot of stuff happening, it's always there, but sometimes it goes down very fast because I think it's because we don't have a lot of support. Some of the people have to start to work in other stuff, and the life change, and you know, start to make music. But there are groups, and sometimes are very radicals that continue making stuff. I think it's healthy, the Lima, also in Cusco, in Arequipa, different places.
But it's not so represented here like some other things.
Yeah, but
it's not so known.
You know what is that? It's because the fucking capitalism, yeah, the mainstream is in everywhere, it's political. Peruvians can make travels easily. We need visas. And for the visas, let's say that the 90% of possibilities, if you are young, is a negative answer. You have to be rich, or you have to be old and rich. But even if you are a doctor, even if you are an artist, even if you are young, it's very difficult. You have to be really good connected, because corruption works everywhere, even in embassies of France or Austria. Diplomatics is just about the good faces, a trait, but it's also a kind of corruption, you know, because it's between people that have power, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it happens the same with Ecuador and Bolivia. You don't see the scene of Ecuador or Bolivia, for example, because we have these problems. Just you see maybe Brazilians or Argentines sometimes, because they can travel, or Chileans. Actually, maybe they have more problems. Mexicans start to have problems also, because the European Union starts to close, I think, or France at least. And United States is worse now.
Yeah.
But we have this globalization of media that makes us listening. For example, you say Kei Haino, he's from Japan, other rich country, you know. We listen, the people read The Wire,
yeah,
or the people, it's inside this illusion, you know.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of local stuff. For me, sometimes more interesting. I was here in Slovenia, I don't listen about you, I don't listen about Nemen, never in my life. I never listen about some guys, you know, and I was like, fuck, it's fucking good. It's what I enjoy more here in Europe now, in the underground scene. Wherever I go, I see small groups making really nice music. And you can see a great band for €3 or €5, or nothing sometimes. And or concerts just in garage, you know, like you're living. And I like this way. It's like cook your own food, no?
Yeah. And how do you think maybe in Peru, these problems that you have, maybe that you can travel so easily, do you see the effect this had on the scene? Maybe
it's
more like local?
Yeah, it's how I told you, no? I was playing with a lot of musicians here, but I see, for example, the Institute of Sonology, where I am in Denach. It's a very academic place with a lot of technology, a lot of staff, and comes people from all Europe to study there and to be researchers. But some of the people don't know a shit about some techniques that I see very young people trying to do by themselves in Peru sometimes, no? Or in places where they don't have formation. And because they don't have formation, they take the risk to make mistakes they don't care about. But in academic way or in these places, they try to be educated.
Yeah, maybe they have a different motivation.
Yeah, I think also the education is crazy. It's crazy to say somebody how to make sounds in an experimental way. You can show some stuff, and I think you have to make more effort to make feel secure the people, by securing in their stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Even if there are mistakes, continue, and we'll find something maybe.
Yeah,
if not, you have to change.
Yeah. Yeah, this is maybe the difference between more underground stuff and
stuff.
Sometimes I really feel there's maybe it sounds similar, but the motivation is.
Yeah,
really
also
different.
The venues. In the venues, there are other relations. Yeah. You feel totally different, the audience.
Yeah.
The audience is. Oh, totally different. I'm not anti-academic, you know. It's very good, a lot of stuff happens around, but it's just a small, maybe one person, two persons, or small groups. But the normal, I prefer other way. I come from other way also, so it's just something interesting for me, but I prefer this kind of relations more direct.
Okay, so maybe for last thing, I would like, can you tell maybe about this organization you had in Peru when you were recording stuff?
Aluardi,
yes, also with this project of going in the jungle and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe can you just presented it.
Yeah, I started at Luardi in 1998 as a tape label. Was me before publishing my tapes and exchange with people selling in some special alternative place in Lima. After I exchanged with people in the countryside, inside the country, in other places, other cities. After with people around South America, and in 2001 or around, I met Gabriel Castillo. That is my college now in Alberdi. We are together now since that time. But he's also make noise stuff, installations, video, great work. And we was like the heads from this period until now. Let's say the heads because we was the nucleus. Always come people and goes. But one important guy was also Felipe del Aguila. Was a designer, very activist also, very, very political in some stuff. But when he finds Alberdi, he finds a way to express himself also in some way. And he supports us a lot. He was really a strong guy. But now he just go to make other stuff because he don't have time. In the past was also Fabiola, the singer of Tika, Fabiola Vázquez, Denis Pastor, other guys passing around. But yeah, we start making just experimental releases, concerts. But we started to make events in also in experimental way, trying to make questions with the events, descontextualizing the situations also, but always around sound, always what that was very important. And also in this way some people was more interested in make workshops, that we organize something in big festivals of electronic arts. So what happened in Peru is that the people is all mixed, so unconnected. So you don't have this kind of difference a lot, you know? You can one time play in a big festival, no, with a big name, you know? But the big name there is the same that the guy with 19 years old that started to make noises in the computer, because nobody knows about Yeah, and after, yeah, we make other kind of experiments, really strange. Like these recordings in the jungle,
yeah.
Or workshops around electromagnetic fields, brights, stuff like that. Now we are making a kif with work, archive,
yeah.
Or with what we was making all these 15 years, and we want to put to free downloads and in a new website. But it's hard work.
Yeah. A lot of material.
A lot of material. We are just two guys and we don't know a lot about websites. And we don't have a lot of money to pay somebody.
It will be DIY, like the best stuff.
Yeah, maybe we finish when we are very, very old. I don't know.
Okay, so thank you.
Yeah, thanks really to you.
Good luck in the future.
Intervju s Krisom Galareto je pripravil Marko Karlovčec.
Intervju Radija Študent.